Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family, I'd like to thank you people that are still hanging on for hanging on. And I think we had a great first hour. We let it all hang out. I've decided a long time ago that if you don't have honor, you don't have anything. And there's so many people that I used to really hitch my wagon to that I admired greatly. And they just turned out totally different from what I thought they were. And I know Rand and I probably have made a lot of enemies, especially on that first, over the period of a year, nailing people that we have pointed out as being misinformation agent, Shabbos Goy, grooms of the school, you may see, and we nailed that. I don't know if Jason listened or not, but we totally slaughtered and nailed out the American Renaissance people on the first hour, Jason. I mean, we'll probably catch hell for that, but we kind of like catching hell, though. You know, and I sent you an audio clip from the now deceased Michael Collins Piper. You probably didn't have time to read it. And I've always known, for instance, that Jared Taylor was, I just call him Rabbi Jared Taylor. But anyway, we talked about all that the first hour. Sister Monica came on. We talked about the war, how the wars were always started by Jews. Like Dave Gehary of Money Tree Publishing says, it's always Jews all the time. It's Jew, 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 Jew. And they have one goal in mind since the beginning. Eve split Jesus. God said that Eve, her heel would, something like that, would crush the devil's head. He would bruise her heel, something like that. Anyway. Their one goal in life to this day, the Jews, as St. John 8:44 says, when Jesus Christ looked the Jews in the eye. Don't listen to what Adrian Rogers said to people like that about the Jews. Listen to what Jesus Christ said. After all, we did name our religion after this guy called Jesus. He looked at them and said they were their father, the devil. And the will of their father would do. And what more would the devil wish for? What could he possibly wish for that would exceed the killing of all white people on earth? And that's just, we've talked about some of the stuff like that, Jason.
Definitely. Well, you know, Eddie, you know, it always comes back to race, you know, everything. And that's so often people don't understand that, you know, and what you were referring to as far as Eve, that's out of Genesis 3:15. Where it says, I will put enmity between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So that's kind of the reference that we're talking about out of Genesis. And the Jews, a lot of people think the Jews are just white people that just have a different religion. I mean, they're a different race. They even admit that they're a different race. And the Jews have a propensity to do everything that's anti-Christian, and so Jews, you never can get be in sync with the Jews. They have propensity to be anti-Christians. That's why they hate everything that we stand for, all our morals, our Christian faith, our belief in Jesus Christ. They literally despise Jesus, and they hate everything about him. And so we never can coexist with the Jews because of the fact that they have a propensity to do anything they can to destroy our morals, our religion, our faith, our race. And so that's why there's always been a conflict between the white people, the white race, and the Jews, and that's why Europe. If anyone knows about the history of the European countries, they have every European country has expelled the Jews from their country. Everyone, and Germany in 1940s were the last one who did it. And so, but yeah, so I probably went on a little bit of tangent, but yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Everything that we hold wholesome and dear to our faith, the Jews despise.
You're right. And give me 10 seconds. I'm going to step away from my microphone, and I'm going to get a list of countries that have expelled the Jews. People, this is what I say. When I tell you we run by the seat of our pants on Blood River Radio, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm going to step away for approximately 6 seconds, and I'm going to get this list and come right back. So people, so hang on to your seat. Be right back. I'm back. Here we go. And I'll just mention a few. I think there's, it says, 109 locations whence Jews have been expelled since A.D. 250. And there's 105. Here's just a few. In 250 A.D., Carthage. 415, Alexandria. 554, the Diocese of Clermont in France. 561, the Diocese of Uzes in France. 612 A.D., Visigoth, Spain. 642, Visigoth Empire. 855, Italy. 1012, Mantes, which is now Germany. 1182, France. 1182, again, Germany. And they come back. But it's Augsburg, the Netherlands, Bavaria, Nuremberg. I mean, there's two pages here, and everywhere that the Jews have ever existed, they have been expelled. There was even a Jew rabbi, I can't even remember his name now. He said if it was one or two instances of Jews being kicked out, yeah, we could say anti-Semitism, poor old Jews, we were mistreated. No, it's every single time. And I mean that's what made me go get this list that you said that you mentioned, yeah. Jason, because that's what they do. They infiltrate. They'll even admit it. And Sister Monica said read a quote earlier on this show in one previous. They came. And they'll tell you they said we are the destroyers. We come to ruin everything good that you Gentiles good. They despise our morality. They absolutely hate our morality. They're the ones, the Jews, are the ones behind this homosexual movement, you know, the gay, all this stuff. They're behind it totally. Behind Hollywood, the media, the universities, the government. They own the United States Congress. But anyway, I didn't mean to get too far-fetched there.
Yeah.
Like I say, once again, we just run by the seat of our pants. I was going to ask you. I was going to get you to introduce, we kind of maybe a little bit late, but tell the people exactly who my spirit son is, this Jason Robb, who I'm so proud of. Tell them who you are, son.
Well, Eddie, I've been on the show several times in the past, but yeah, Jason Robb, I'm out of Harrison, Arkansas. I'm an attorney out here. My father is Pastor Thomas Robb. We have a church out here, Christian Revival Center. It's a Christian Identity Church. We're also part of the Knights Party, the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. My father, Pastor Thomas Robb, is the national director, and so I'm part of that organization. So we have, again, the Knights Party is a nationwide Klan organization. We are a white rights advocacy group. We have church here every Sunday. That's not part of the Knights, but our church here. And so we've been involved, I should say my dad has been involved in the white nationalist movement since the mid-60s. He's been a pastor since the mid-60s, and I've been raised in this cause of fighting for our race and preserving our culture. And so that is who I am, but I am also, like I said, an attorney here in Arkansas, and we help what we can to spread this wonderful message of white Christian revival. And we're living in some exciting times, I like to say, you know, some just exciting times. We've never been in history, we've never been where we are at now. And so it's exciting to get up every day and try to awaken our people and spread the alarm of what's happening to our people and destruction to our race. And we enjoy in doing what we can.
You know, Jason, I mentioned before we go to the break earlier in the when Sister Monica was on that I was talking to one of my brothers went to Charlottesville with Rich Hamblin, and he told me he was looking at these statistics, and he's a smart guy. He has a degree from Vanderbilt in Latin and Greek, and he said that the number of white children, I'm going to say below the age of 18, 38% white people, white children, so 62%. Of the children below 18 in the United States are non-white. With that, we'll have to go to this first quick break. Folks, we'll be right back soon to get through this first break of the third hour.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm so glad to have my spirit son, Jason Robb, who I'm so proud of him. I'm sure he's probably, Therese's having to come on with me, man. He was hoping that we'd have another host. But listen, before we go, Jason, he says this dynamite stuff. On the back of this page I have about the locations that the Jews have been kicked out of since AD 250, this is a partial list. United Nations resolutions against Israel from 1955 to 1922. The 1955 to 1992. This just lists 22 of the resolutions. One of them, Resolution 106, condemns Israel for the Gaza raid. Resolution 111 condemns Israel for the raid on Gaza that killed 56 people. This was like, I don't know, years and years ago. Resolution 122 recommends Israel suspend its no man's zone in Israel. It's just resolution after resolution after resolution. And what does Israel do? Israel, a.k.a. The United States of America. We didn't have Donald Trump elected recently. We had Benjamin Netanyahu. They thumped their nose at the U.N. It's the only nation in the world that can do that. They thumped their notions at the world court. Jason, I saw the other day, I think 130 nations have approved, have said they will arrest Benjamin Netanyahu if he comes to their country. They have to, because they've signed on to the world court. I hate the world court myself, but listen, right. In this case, I'm glad that these people would, even in Germany, which is totally run by the Jews, they said, well, we would hate to, it really hurt our feelings, but I guess we would have to arrest the sucker. But you know what? They'll never arrest him, but they would arrest you or me, Jason, if we had a chance. But anyway, I thought that throw that out of the way, but because you had something really, really scary to me that you talked about. That I think you said the name, the year 2000, one of these things happened. So anyway, go ahead, Jason. Start from the top and go to the bottom with that, with what you've got to talk about.
Sure. Yeah. We were talking about just that drastic decline of the white race here in the United States, and I was telling you over the break that the year 2000 really was kind of a magical year statistically, that that there was more non-whites being born in the United States than whites. And so as a result of that, so going back to year 2000, now we're in 2024, so now you have all of these non-whites in the United States, and that at that time were elementary school kids, but kids that are actually graduating from high school, that are in elementary schools, all statistically, there are more of non-whites than there are whites in your school system, via elementary or high school. And so now that would have been, let's say, 2018, again, we're in 2024. So you have all these now people, kids that are graduating from high school, now graduating from college, that are now more non-whites than are whites. And so the reason we look at the population in the United States still being a majority white is because of the baby boom generation, which you are a part of. And so when more of your baby boom generation that are whites starts dying off, we are going to start seeing a drastic shift of the United States becoming a non-white country. And then people think, well, okay, we have whites and non-whites, but just because you're white doesn't mean you're still going to be in favor of our policies, our preserving our race and our culture. And because, you look at those that are interracial marriage, those adopted non-whites, and those maybe that have a moral degenerate lifestyle, such as homosexuality. So those that really love our people, our white race, our culture, and our heritage, and that want to preserve it, really statistically is in the minority, extreme minority. These kids out there that are whites out there, that are traditional, Christian white kids, in the next 10, 15, 20 years, they're going to see a drastic change in the population, not only in the United States, but the policies of the United States and how the government treats white people, the Christian faith. They're going to see a drastic change and more of an attack upon them, because they will no longer be in the majority. They're going to be in the minority. And you look at any of your major cities now, they're basically third world countries. And so that is something that we obviously are seeing now. And I know I'm kind of jumping around, but talking about that, the year 2000, there was an article about 15 years ago in Time Magazine called The White Anxiety Crisis. And they were talking about this very same issue, about this drastic change of the population of the United States becoming a non-white country. But what was really interesting in there, they talked about, even that was being done in the United States statistically, there is going to be around 34, 35 states by 2050 that will still have a majority white population. And basically they were talking about your the Midwest and the Midwest states where you'll have more of your majority white populations, but your eastern and western coast states, they're going to basically be non-whites. And so what we really are starting to see is a kind of a balkanization, if you want to call it, localism, where you have a natural population migration of white people moving closer to other white people. And we're kind of starting to see that even with your census, with Electoral College and various other things. We are seeing that pattern. But unfortunately, until our people really recognize that they are being exterminated. They're on the list to be exterminated by the non-whites and those Jewish supremacists, those elites. They have an agenda to wipe our race and our culture off this earth. And that's why it's so important for our younger white population youth to really understand that, to really understand that they're being targeted, they're on the chopping block to being annihilated. And when we see America becoming a truly a non-white country, I think they will start seeing that even more of the policies against the white population. And so that's something, you know, we as a people, I know your show really focuses on that, trying to wake people up, other white organizations and advocacy groups out there, white advocacy groups, are really trying to, you know, push that narrative like, you know, our people are on the chopping block. And you look at your European white countries, they're on the same course of destruction as well. And so that is something that I think we individually have a purpose that we need to be doing, you know, every day in every form or fashion, trying to wake our people up, regardless if it's on the radio, talking to our families, talking to our friends, pushing that alarm about how our people are on the face of an extinction. And so that is something that we, I think, have a duty and obligation to continue to help push not agenda, but that framework, that narrative to our people. And so that is something that, you know, with United States becoming more and more non-white, I think we will start seeing our white population in the Midwest kind of start focusing on that, start realizing that we are in the minority. And I think that in a way, I think that will help us out, because when they realize that we are in the minority, they're going to realize, hey, we no longer are going to be able to be sitting on the sideline and think everything's going to be okay. You know, as my dad would always tell us when we're growing up, is this, you know, we will get to a time in politics when the white people are no longer looking for another shade of gray. They're going to start looking for extremes. And I think that's what we're starting to see now, you know, kind of converting over to, you know, the Republican Democrat parties, where people are starting looking for extremes. And I think we as white Christians have a unique opportunity to be able to stand up and say, yes, we are extreme. We are white Christians. We love our people. We love our culture. We love our race. And we are not going to go silently in the night.
You got that right. And I can guarantee, double damn to you, if you're looking for the extremes, you need to look no further than Blood River Radio, and you need to look no further than the Knights Council in Zinc, Arkansas. Jason, you've nailed it, brother. Listen, there. I just have in my hot little hand here a booklet. In fact, I have several more sent by your friend, my friend, your brother, my brother, the great Paul Fromm. He sent me some of these booklets. I believe you have some too. The Cult of Clergy, the yes. Planned Replacement of European People. Jason just got through so eloquently telling you people about, you dear beloved Blood River Radio family. He did an expert job on it. And what he told you was happening didn't happen by accident. It was planned. What amazes me, Jason, is these people are our enemy. And once again, to give credit to Dave Gehary of Money Tree Publishing, he said it's always Jews all the time. This cult of clergy, half Jew, father Jew, mother Jap. And we'll get right back to that as soon as we come back. We'll talk about the cult of clergy. This pamphlet, I can ship it out to you. Jason has some, I believe. And we'll talk about that and a few other things as soon as we come back from this break. Be right back, folks.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
toll on our bodies. No way around it. Whether it's sitting hours on end at your computer or working a physical job, over time your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain, Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. The difference? Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good. And it's 100% drug-free. If the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as so many others have. Turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. When you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. So visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95. While we can't stop aging, not yet, we can stop pain. Turn back the clock with Relief Factor.
Indie film merchandise has become a hot commodity.
Merchandise is nothing new. But in recent years, movie-inspired streetwear has exploded in popularity among film buffs thanks in part to viral marketing campaigns put on by independent film studios. Take the hours-long line for One Day Only Anora pop-up in Los Angeles, for instance. Clothes are promoted as trendy and in limited supply and are often made in collaboration with popular brands. The experience of watching movies has become a less collective one in recent years. For many fans, repping their favorite films in public is a way to combat that. Ron Taylor reporting.
One Georgia city will welcome 2025 with a huge bang. Macon Bibb County Commission approving a plan to implode a vacant 16-story hotel at midnight New Year's Eve. Hotel opened in 1970, but it was never really a financial success. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. French President Emmanuel Macron has taken a tour of the newly refurbished Notre Dame Cathedral.
Macron entered via the cathedral's giant and intricately carved front doors.
On a le sentiment de la redécouvrir.
I feel like I'm rediscovering it, he remarked during his tour as he stared up at the ceilings in wonder. The visit kicks off a series of events ushering in the reopening of the 12th century Gothic masterpiece. Macron will return on December the 7th to deliver an address and attend the consecration of the new altar during a solemn mass the following day. I'm Karen Shamas.
A court in Beijing sentencing a prominent Chinese journalist to 7 years in prison for espionage. Dong Yahu is a commentator and editor. He was taken away by police while meeting a Japanese diplomat in February of 2022. He's been in custody ever since. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, we were talking about, before the break, we talked about the cult of clergy. This pamphlet I have from the one and only the great Paul Fromm. He wrote this, edited it, whatever. I'm not intellectual. I have some education, but not a whole lot. But anyway, he published this pamphlet, The Cult of the Clergy, and it tells all about this man, a devil, Jew, half Jew, half Japanese. And he, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to shut up and turn this let Jason, who's, I mean, after all, the man didn't get to be an attorney for nothing. Without, he's not exactly a bumbler with words. I want the judge. Would you let my client go? I mean, he's pretty daggum eloquent, or he wouldn't be an attorney that's overworked right now with the clientele. So anyway, Jason, my spirit son, I'm so proud of. Tell the people something about this cult of clergy a little bit. I know you don't have it in front of you, but I'm sure you'll do a good job from what you've remembered. And give the big picture of how this, what you just got through talking about earlier in the last segment was part of what this clergy guy laid out, the blueprint. So go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, so it was this fellow politician. He was basically, if I recall correctly, it was back in the 20s, and 1920s, not 2020, 1920s. I have to say that now more because everyone's thinking, oh, it only happened about 4 years ago. No, 1920. So over 100 years ago. Yes, that's at least how long this fight's been going on. It's been more than that, but yeah. So this fellow, he was, I believe, half Japanese and half Jewish, but he was a politician. He had a plan, and they very much a calculated plan to integrate the European countries and to bring in massive invasion of non-whites, not military, but through migration, to integrate your white European countries. And the purpose of that was to break down the white culture and the white heritage and the Christian faith of the European countries, and that included obviously Europe, included in Canada, Australia, the United States. So there was a calculated plan, and he was very much well financed by Jewish organizations, Jewish millionaires, the Rothschilds, and other Jewish families. And it was an orchestrated plan to basically break down the white society. And the reason he wanted that, because he wanted white people basically to be exterminated. And that was his goal through miscegenation, because he believed that as immigration of your non-white countries would pour into your European countries, they would then eventually mix, and there would be no longer be a white population. And so it was very much a calculated plan, and through his policies that basically was steamrolled through your Jewish organizations in various European countries, through the politicians, the laws were starting to change, the segregation laws in Europe and United States and Canada, and just over a period of time, it broke down your segregation laws and it allowed the interracial mixture of the races. And so that was a very much a calculated plan. And it was only in your white countries. It was not into your third world countries. It was only in white countries. And so people say, well, that's not really true. You know, that there's no orchestrated plan. Well, one example is in the United States in 1965, the Immigration Act, the Hartz-Celler Act. And that was an act in which our immigration, all our immigrants coming into United States before 1965 was from all your white European countries. And so after 1965, after it was changed in Congress and signed by Lyndon Johnson, then all your immigration came from your non-white countries, Mexico, Bangladesh, Arab countries, the Philippines. I mean, all your non-white countries, then all your immigrants came in from those third world countries into the United States. As a result of that, that's why United States, now all your immigration is from your non-white countries, and now we are reflecting, as a reflection of that, our country and our population reflects a third world country. But it was an orchestrated, calculated plan. It didn't happen just through a mistake. It didn't happen just by happenstance. It was a cold, calculated plan, and the Keurig plan was one of a plan. It was a calculated design to basically to break down your white European population and to make it to just a brown society that had no distinctions of races. And now we're living in it today. We see the fruit of it through Europe, through the United States, where our people are being exterminated, being annihilated, and we don't really have a true white country anymore.
We most certainly do not. You did an excellent job there, Jason. Here's an anecdotal story, and I've told our people on Blood River this several times. If I walk out of my house and I look to the left, the house there has been expanded upon several times. Just like any time Hispanics move into a neighborhood, they always start adding on and adding on and adding on because they bring more of their kind in. If you look to my immediate left, we have people. I've been told that they were from Honduras because they have these Go Honduras soccer players, you know. They have an allegiance to Honduras, not to this country. If you look to the right, I have a group of people there. They're from Colombia. And the woman who's married or was living with a man from Mexico. Keep in mind, this neighborhood where I live in was lily white when we moved in here in 1980. The entire area here in Bartlett was lily white. Now, this entire area where I live in is predominantly, I wouldn't even say Hispanic, it's just predominantly non-white. We're being totally colonized here, Jason, in yes. Memphis, in the United States. I've noticed all throughout Bartlett, I've seen several stores that have been around ever since I've been here since Halloween Day of 1980, and they have folded and gone out of business. Well, guess what? Behind them, the same buildings are there. Well, you have other businesses open up there, and they're all Hispanic. They have their own grocery stores. They have their own tobacco shops. They have their own gas stations, you name it. And guess what? That money, they all stick together. They all patronize each other's businesses. The house to the right of me that I was telling you about from Columbia, they moved out of that house. They fixed up really nice. They've converted it into a business, and it's not zoned for businesses. And you complain about it. You can complain. But nothing will happen because these non-whites are untouchable in Memphis or anywhere else probably. You know, by the way, this is an aside. You'll never see this happen in Israel. Never, that'll never happen. Monica was on last week, Jason, and she was talking about, and Paul Fromm, and they were talking about how in Canada, they were being flooded with people from East India, East Indians, and these Sikhs, they said, are very violent. They're very militant. And they're in the streets of Canada. Get this. This is really true. Screaming to the white Canadians, you need to get out of Canada. You are not Canadians. We are. Go back to Europe. Go back to England. And I would reply to them, first of all, you're wrong as hell. We are Canadians. You're the interlopers. But even we can't even go back to a white country because England, London, England is predominantly black. Exactly. If you see here in the United States, to the south of Canada, you see Haitians being brought in on these luxury liners. Last week we had Don Wasalone, or a couple of weeks ago, and he said that this little country in Ohio. I think it's Springdale, Ohio. They brought it's a town of 40,000 to 50,000whites. They brought in up to 20,000 Haitians. And right. I pointed out on the last segment with Monica's own that in Haiti, I think it was around 1804, that the black population there revolted and they killed every single white man, woman, suckling babe there. The southern border, Texas, Arizona, being completely run over. And this comes from directly from this Calerzi plan. It was not planned, but it was not an accident at all. And we'll get back to that as soon as we come back to this last break of the third hour, people. Be right back, folks.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I was just telling little spirit son Jason how fast the country goes, how fast this hour goes. But I halfway forgot what I was going to talk about, but I'd just like to talk briefly mention that we have a black lesbian professor at Rhodes College here, and she's parroting the same narrative that this Jewish professor, I think at Harvard, said some time ago. He said something to the effect that getting rid of the white race was such a high and noble ideal he could not see for the life of him why anybody would object unless they had some type of mental illness or something. Well, this black lesbian professor out here at Rhodes College is saying the same thing, and then you have these little Harvard wannabe airheads out there at Rhodes College cheering wildly, oh, yes, we're going to be exterminated. I'd like to point out to some of them, do you realize what color you are? You're white. Would you like your parents, your grandparents to be exterminated out of the nursing homes? How about, do you ever plan on having any kids, et cetera, et cetera? But anyway, yeah. I was going to say something else, and I got myself sidetracked, Jason. So I think I was talking about how we're being colonized right in front of our very eyes, and people will say, oh, that's a conspiracy. But go ahead, Jason, take it up right there, fella.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, so often, you have these self-hated white people who the reason they love the idea of whites being destroyed, is because they have been raised and demoralized their whole life propaganda, basically, where they believe that their race are just evil people. They from little up, they're raised in your schools and your high schools and elementary, and they go to college. They're basically brainwashed, thinking that white people are just evil people, and Jews themselves, have said that white people are a cancer to society, and so that's just been, infiltrating in your school system, and so you have white kids that are coming out of your schools, your public school systems, and your colleges, that are being reprogrammed, thinking that they're just evil people, and so they love the idea of white people being destroyed. And that goes back to genocide, and so when you have people like you and others, Paul Fromm or my father and Monica Schaefer and just hundreds and thousands of other white people out there saying we have a right to exist, then they're called haters, they're called racists, they're called every evil name in the book simply by just saying we have a right to exist. And so often, we have said over the years that it doesn't matter if we were a race of cavemen roaming around the hills, and spoke in grunts, we still have a right to exist. And that's the same thing that we're saying today, is we have a right to exist, and there is a calculated plan to destroy our people. And you can call it population replacement, you can call it genocide, but it's the same ending, and that is for white people not to exist. And so it's something that is shameful, but it is reality. And it is something that, unfortunately, there's a massive amount of the white population don't really understand that. That's why in the Bible our people are called sheep, because they don't truly understand that there is a calculated effort to destroy us and destroy everything we represent. We have a glorious past. The white population has a glorious past with Europe, and we're colonizers. We have brought civilization to the third world. We have created wonderful medicine and doctors and art. We have something to be very much proud of, and to preserve. And that is why they are wanting to destroy us, because we have always been the conquerors. We have always been the ones that has brought civilization, always brought the light into the darkness. And the enemy does not want us to be proud of who we are. It really comes just down to that. Because if we are proud of who we are, then we become conquerors again.
You nailed it. And I'd like to say, and I repeat it all the time, I'll give the credit to David Gaharry. He said it's always Jews all the time. And it most certainly is. And who is behind this? Go all the way back to Colts for Clergy, the fellow who got this plan right here. He was the Jews. Dad was a Jew. I was listening to James Traficant, bless his heart, before he said he would say he choked on a chicken bone. He was eliminated. Even Cynthia McKinney, the black congressman, she complained about it. They said those two, and who that congressman from Kentucky, I can't remember his name. He's one of the very few courageous who will speak up. When you go into the Congress, as a Congress, United States congressman or United States senator, they're saying every single one inductees into that group, that cabal that we call a government, they're sent an immediate visit by a Jew, and it's their Jewish handler, and they're instructed on how they will vote and how they will not vote, and they're also told with no ambiguity whatsoever that they will never ever vote against anything to do with Israel. They will vote never take sides against Israel. They will always be pro-Jewish. And you see that happen. You see it happen every day. That cannot be debated. You cannot debate. And we mentioned the enemy. Jason mentioned the enemy. The enemy is always the same. It's always the Jew. He is the son of his father, the devil. He came here to do the devil's will. And there's nothing the Jew would like better than to totally exterminate the white race of United of the world. That's what they want. They want to totally get rid of, because Jason would knows as much as anybody, more than I do. He's Christian identity. The white race, whether you're Christian identity or not, you have to admit it's the most beautiful race the world has ever seen. It's the most creative, most inventive. You can't name one thing in the world that's been invented, that's been possible, be it medicine, be it engineering, be it science, be it art, be it architecture, be it philanthropic organizations like St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. It's white. And that's what these Jews want to get rid of. And that's, Jason, that's what just tears my heart out, just pisses me off so bad. You know, I told you I'm a recovering Baptist of years ago. I was in the Baptist. I became a Christian really late in life. I was a Baptist for a very short time and hopped right back out because they are the example of, for fear of the Jew. They are not going to go against the Jew. But Jason, if we could ever alert our people who this damn enemy is, they control the Congress with an iron fist. If we could just do that, if we could ever get these airheads to wake up and see the truth and admit it and be able to face the truth, if we could ever get them past that, what Yuri Bezmenov said, the KGB agent said, to get them past that second stage of brainwashing, it seemed like a hopeless task sometimes, Jason, but that's where we are, brother. Back to you, Jason.
Well, you know, you were talking about, you know, the Jews in Congress and whatever. You know, the American Jewish lobby is the most powerful lobby in Washington, D.C., and a lot of people don't, you know, realize that. You know, people say, oh, it's the NRA or it's the Planned Parenthood or something like that, but it's the American Israel lobby, and it's the most powerful and biggest lobbyist group in Washington, D.C., and our policies forever are orchestrated by that lobbyist group, and so it is something that, again, most people just don't understand, because most people are apathetic. You know, they don't really care about that. You know, they care about, you know, putting food on their table, and that's all they're really concerned about, which they obviously they are. But as far as the bigger scheme of things, you know, they just don't understand it, you know, and it's just very unfortunate. And again, if they start speaking about anything that is contrary to their agenda, then again, they know that the worst thing they can be called is a racist, you know, a racist, a Nazi, you know, you're a white supremacist, you know, because they know those words are going, for the most part, cause people to be afraid to speak up and not to say anything vocally, because those evil words, being called a racist, is going to shut everyone up. And so they're very these Jewish organizations, the supremacist organizations, they're very good at manipulating the white population into submission.
I would recommend our people, we're always talking about solutions. We're all about solutions on Blood River Radio, Jason, as you well know. And Jason is all into solutions. He would be doing what he's doing. I mean, I don't know anybody doing more than Jason, Jason Robb. I'm so very proud of him. So very proud to be a friend of his. But do what Monica Schaefer says. When they call you a racist, a Nazi, a hater, look at them and say, oh, thank you so much for noticing. You bet your sweet butt. Yes, I am. I love my race. I don't like yours. Get the hell out of my world. Well, Jason, it's been a great pleasure working with you tonight. It always is. We even though I say we fly by the seat of our pants, but I dare anybody to say we don't cover great hardcore stuff for our people. But thank you so much for coming on. I'll be in contact with you. You be in contact with me. I hope you get a deer next week. Hope your son does. Thank you again for coming on. Thank you, Miss Lizzie. Thank you, Monica. Thank you, Rand. And thank you, Blood River Radio family. We'll see you same time, same place next week. God willing. Good night, everybody.